May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 356. Does the gospel word proclaim rest for those who weary be? Then my soul put in thy claim, sure that promise speaks to thee. Marks of grace I cannot show, all polluted is my breast, yet I weary am I know, and the weary long for rest. Hymn 356.
Oh, Let us read together from Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, from chapter 8. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gate, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. My wisdom dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honour are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, whatever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him. As one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Amen.
Let us sing hymn 282. 'Tis my happiness below, not to live without the cross, but the Saviour's power to know, sanctifying every loss. Hymn 282.
Thank you.
high and holy, Lord God of heaven and earth. We do seek, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to be granted to us in Jesus' name, without which we cannot attain to true worship. We ask, Lord, that thou would grant us that lifting up of thy Spirit out of our unbelief and sin that doth so easily beset us. Grant on this Sabbath morning may be a time of thy blessing. Lord, do grant thy word graciously. Touch our hearts with the truth. Leave not our souls destitute. Lord, we are reminded of thy word concerning the snow upon the earth, how white it is, how black we are, but how much more defiled by sin, because the heavens are not clean in thy sight. Solemnly, Lord, at times do we feel that disparity, that distance, that lack that we have. We only know it by thy grace. We would humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. We ask, Lord, that thou be with us as we gather. Be not without, but in the midst. Come, Lord, and grant us thy gracious help, all laid upon one that is mighty. Lord, remember each one, from the youngest to the oldest. Help us, Lord, to seek that mercy through blood, that atonement for sin, and may none, Lord, be left out, could it please thee. Lord, remember our aged friend who's drawing near, we believe, to the end, and pray that thou would graciously visit her and grant thy mercy and thy help. Lord, we do seek that what we ask for her in truth we might plead for ourselves. Grant us real preparation. Lord, that which needs nothing to be added to it, Lord, do grant us that preparation, the heart in man and the answer of the tongue. And do grant us, Lord, real things in a solemn day, and especially towards the closing years of our life. Lord, do grant we may be truly ready when thou shalt call. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember seekers. Do grant they may find thee with those that said, "We have found him." Lord, we ask that thou wilt bless thy word here with that sacred power, Lord, that blessing to rend hearts until there is a cry, "What must I do to be saved?" We ask that thou wilt bring back prodigals. Remember those that may be afar off and yet may be in thy house. And Lord, we remember well those unregenerate days. Lord, we ask that thou wilt remember the afflicted. Do be pleased to grant that healing touch and virtue in Jesus' name. And also that thou wilt grant that time of healing according to thy goodness. Remember thy servant, pray for him that labours here, and see that thou be with him and raise him up and grant thy blessing. Lord, remember each cause represented. Where there is no service today, Lord, to grant that double portion in the hearts of those that oft worship. And do grant us now, Lord, that help to bless thee with thy many mercies. Lord, do we not come seeking mainly, mostly for ourselves, all that gracious help and that mercy and forgiveness? And also we pray, Lord, that gospel blessings may spread around like a sweet, refreshing shower. Turn unto the churches. How we desire Zion's true prosperity, where Jesus reigns alone. And we seek, Lord, days of prosperity. Could it please thee? And yet we live in days that remind us of the latter times. Nevertheless, we pray that thou visit visit Zion. Grant there may be those that shall come and speak well of thee and have nothing to boast of at all. We pray that thou'd hear us from our land at this time. Lord, turn again unto us, we thank thee, that there is a God to hear and answer prayer in heaven. So may we pray continually. We ask that thou'd touch hearts in high places. Grant there may be a relenting. And there may be those that shall bow and be ready to acknowledge thee. Lord, if it could please thee to grant those answers of peace, subdue our enemies, and those, Lord, that rise up continually and with all their fresh abominations, hear us in such a day as this. Lord, we ask that thou remember the nations of the earth, hear prayer for our fellow creatures, and grant us now, Lord, that help to lay hold upon thee. Lord, it's the services. It's the need that prevails. It's the solemn understanding of our need of thy mercy. And for the Lord to return to us individually. Lord, do come and grant one of those days of the Son of Man. Lord, may we know something of his holiness. May we know also that righteousness of that garment to be known in our hearts and upon us, Lord. And that robe of righteousness to be all sufficient. We ask that thou come, Lord, and deliver us from our fears. Come, Lord, and grant us one of those tokens for good that we often sing about. Come, Lord, and grant us that help in hearing and preaching. Grant us that access to the throne of grace. Remember each one that has just about got here because of the things that lay them low, and grant such gracious help and much sweetness of that name. And also we thank thee, Lord, for every temporal mercy. We desire that thou crown thy gospel with success. Remember the Sabbath school. Hear us, Lord, for the young, the rising generation. We do pray, Lord, for that those that may especially have made some petition and lodged it with a who can tell before the Lord. Any, Lord, that may be diminished and brought low. Remember any, Lord, that faint by the way. Any, Lord, that are under the tempter's power. So, Lord, do come. Show us yon lovely hand. Grant us nearness to him. Remember us, Lord, as poor sinners, at the very best, utterly defiled by sin and yet seeking unto thee. Cleanse us well. Grant us help of God, sorely needed. Come, Lord, over all our unworthiness. Help us now to plead that precious name above. And grant us some sweet foretaste today that it shall be well, and it is well. Exceed our petitions. Constantly do we feel the need for them to be washed and presented in the Saviour's name. Oh, do come, Lord, and grant thy name maybe as ointment poured forth. There may be much deliverance to the captives, much help of God to those that cry with the woman continually, perhaps every Sabbath. Lord, help me. We ask Jesus' precious name for his sake. Amen.
Hymn number 7. God shall alone the refuge be and comfort of my mind. Too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. Hymn number 7.
Thank you.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I will direct your prayerful attention to the prophecy of Isaiah. Prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 52. Chapter 52. Read there from verses 7 and 8. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 52. Read there the paragraph that verses 7 and 8. How beautiful. Upon the mountains, on the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. It is a very sacred part of God's word, where so much of Jesus Christ and the gospel, and yet also so much of the sacred divine truth of God himself from all eternity, reaching into everlasting. And the truths of the gospel were spoken very much in prophecy. That time that was appointed when the church of God should be revived and clothed anew. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. The Lord grant it by the Spirit of God. His dear people may know that garments of righteousness and feel to be clothed anew. Shake thyself from the dust, that we need it. It is spoken, of course, of a captive daughter of Zion, in affliction and trouble, under oppression, and yet there is a promise that the Lord would appear in his time and in his way. There's so much about it in the chapter. I want to come to the words especially in verse 7 here, that seemed to rest upon my mind, and yet we feel to need the Spirit of God to grant us access into them. How beautiful upon the mountains, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Much could be said of the work and witness of the dear man, John the Baptist, the commission, the way in which he proclaimed the coming of Christ and said, he must increase, but I must decrease. The way in which he made known the sweet truths of God and felt to be nothing in himself. So much concerning John the Baptist, and also the watchman, as we have it in the 8th verse. Those also are appointed to stand, and what they see they must declare. The men will hear, whether they will forbear. Well, I want to come to the words that seem to rest upon my mind this morning. Beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Oh, preeminently, friends, there's such a beautiful setting forth here of the Son of God, the Son of Man, in all his suitability, both as God and man, to the church of the living God. That is what is look for at the time of the prophecy. How beautiful the coming upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. It's what the dear saints of God were looking for, seeking the Lord to hasten the time when the dear Redeemer should come according to his own word and truth. It does seem to bring to my mind here the words that how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. That his sense of God especially, I believe it, sets forth the glorious promise of the coming, and that from all eternity. The gospel is no new thing. The evidence of it, the outpouring of God's Spirit, wonderfully reveals a day of much blessing. We would seek to worship him that is from everlasting to everlasting. His dear sacred covenant purposes of love and mercy, peace and grace. That is what is before us for a few moments. Thinking of the mountains, we may speak of a few things, but I want to notice that these mountains are really wonderfully set forth in the scriptures. We have it in the chapter that we have read. So much sweet truth of him who is wisdom. That's the sweetest attribute, one of the sweetest attributes of the dear Saviour. To be wisdom to his people. To be the wisdom of God by his cross. To be the wisdom of poor sinners that really do feel to be so ignorant and poor. Feel to lack wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, you ask of God. The Lord grant then some sweet thought of him who is set forth here very sweetly in the truth of God's own words. Doth not wisdom cry? Want to make clear, friends, we do not offer the truth, but we must speak of it. It's not offered as if man will have enough wisdom to know the wisdom of God. It's his dominion. Being brought to it. Leaving carnal sense and reason. And those things which are of a lower earth belong to the fall. And that solemn dearth that it brought. Some God's people know exactly, experimentally, what it is. Feel to lack wisdom and feel to need the Lord to grant them something over the mountains. Experimentally. But I want to just come to the children for a moment. The younger ones. Thinking in the Proverbs, what does it say of the dear Redeemer? Dear child of Bethlehem. What does it say of him, Emmanuel, God with us? Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Counsels of Jehovah. God's sweet purposes of love and mercy. He should reveal himself in the sacred truth of the scriptures. The scriptures stand alone, don't they? Supreme, declaring the whole counsel of God before the mountains were brought forth. In our text, perhaps we may notice them. Literally, great, wonderful mountains. And how settled they are. God settled them. Made them. Placed them. Who can move them? Great things that speak to us of the all-creating arm, the glorious power, dominion of God himself. That's what we need to be taught in our hearts, how great thou art, how little we are. Friends, only God can teach those things. There is a skepticism, a dreadful spirit that abounds. Friends, today it is as if so many revoke the truths of God because the world beckons. It's got a long finger, hasn't it? Come with us. We will show you a thing. You need not take any regard to those things that you have been brought up in. Oh, how busy is the adversary. What things does he introduce at conflict with the scriptures and of him that settled the mountains? What a sad and solemn day it is. And it does seem to be that there is an increase of that falling away. May the Lord grant us grace to speak simply for a moment. There'll be a coming a time when those who cry the mountains to cover them. Solemn truth it is when the author of God's word will judge in righteousness. And yet men go on and on. Of course they do. And so would we but for sovereign grace before the mountains. I am the Lord, God of all flesh. Anything too hard for me, but I think of it in this way. There are evidences of the greatness of God, but we need to be brought to them by grace. But there are times when the Lord sweetly touches the hearts of his people. They're able to see by faith or that gracious help of God to consider him. We sometimes say we need to be brought from nature to nature's God. The Lord bless the children, the young people. Well, we'll just mention the antiquity of God's word, the truth of it. How many generations have passed, have gone, God remains. And the mountains witness to it, but they must fall too. The mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, and my kindness shall not depart from thee. We have it in the 50, just over the page, don't we? The mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. Where is man? Yet he boasts so much. He thinks so much. God grants us that single eye. And bless the dear younger ones. But my kindness, I think we've been singing of it, haven't we? My kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. We may speak of it further today. My mind goes then to the sacred authority of God's word. He spoke and the mountains were settled. He spake and it was done. So many things could be considered very briefly concerning the word in our text, in the spirit of the truth of the gospel, how beautiful upon the mountains, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. But then it's the application, isn't it, of the mountains in different ways. It is that application of the mountains that belong to those that fear the Lord. Application of the mountains that separate. Rise so high. Surely sin and guilt is like those pointed mountains. Surely the mountains that are known to Lord's people are not so much being able to name the literal mountains, but they've got enough in their own heart. Mountains of separation. Mountains between them and their God. I believe that's how God deals with his people. Calls them by their grace. They'll have a few mountains. Even in their young lives, mountains of trouble, great things that rise so high, who can move them but God? These mountains I want to set forth in different ways. As it was of the church of old at that time, there were mountains. They couldn't see how the Lord could come. It was so black and dark. The situation was very, very solemn, for man so favoured had left his God. There were judgments, darkness. And yet soon the Lord arose. Soon the Lord appeared to the sweet enjoyments and desire. The Lord's people, certainly his servants, his prophets. One of them cries, how beautiful upon the mountains. I believe with a heart of wisdom. I believe to speak of those mountains that belong to Zion. And yet he can make them into plains. We were in Switzerland a few years ago and was trying to preach those words. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. And I've since thought about that. Oh, the mountains are round about Jerusalem. In many ways, especially those hard things or those trying dispensations. But so the Lord is round about his people. Wonderful truth. The Lord to be mindful of his people as the mountains are round about Jerusalem. His loving kindness with some. His faithfulness to his ancient promise. His decree. His covenant. God's purposes. They cannot miscarry. They'll not come a day behind. It's coming nor before. How beautiful on the mountains. It would be a sad thing if there are no mountains for the Lord this morning. In our poor hearts. The Lord to grant that sweet help with the mountains. The Lord to grant that truth in the text in an experimental, sacred way. It needs him, doesn't it? If it's sanctified. If there are those things that dry your heart, so there may be many things. Lord, you come to it. It needs the Lord. You come to it like this, Lord. Do come upon the mountains. Send out thy light and thy truth. Grant thy word graciously. And Prince, there's a sweetness in this. He that is from everlasting has decreed that the mountains shall flow down at his presence. There's not one too mountain too great for him. But there may be many, many mountains that seem to rise so high. I think of the application, the illustration of the mountains that have been in the way. Those things which are so difficult to see, we can't see over them, cannot see the way we should take, cannot comprehend what the Lord may do until it's such a mountain. Not a little one. We read of hills, don't we? And such a great mountain. Let's be absolutely clear, friends. Our poor nature will try to do the best with the mountain. Do I just see through it or over it or put God's name to this or that? We can never deceive the Lord, we might deceive ourselves. But no, friends, do you come to this? How great the mountain, how little our faith. How suitable the word in the truth of the gospel, how beautiful upon the mountain. I suppose these words have been preached over and over. But it seems to come on my mind a little that even in the coming of the dear Redeemer, how did he come upon the mountain in that dear sacred name by the babe of Bethlehem, that one that should subdue the mountain? Laid so low, rejected from his birth before he was born, set at naught. I often think of Herod that said that I may come and worship him also, and there wasn't a whit of goodness about it, not any faith at all. So he had present words, didn't he? That go and find the child and bring me again. We want something more than that, don't we? We don't need the Lord to come and be our wisdom as he was. The Lord was to Joseph. Revealed in a dream, didn't he? Very often in that early dispensation. The dispensation of his coming was that demonstration. The Lord's wisdom. Dreams can be very wretched things. But you know, sometimes the Lord can use those dreams and things to bring us more into his word. And be able to prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. I will not open you the windows of heaven. Pour you out a blessing and grant that divine direction. Now, how do we speak of it, friends? It's when the mountains are greater than we are, and when it needs the Lord from first to last. Now, let me be ever so clear about it. That's not our God, friends. Try and speak of it like this, say, well, I've got such a mountain only God can deal with. Well, it's right, but friends, what is the sanctifying effect? Where is the blessing of a broken heart that can speak a few things of that divine and sacred, blessed truth as it is in Jesus? Why should he come? Why to such that are of banished ones and those that have no grace? Well, not in themselves. But, friends, it's this, isn't it? The Lord to magnify himself sometimes by removing the mountains in his time and his way. How beautiful upon the mountains. I want to look at it, especially with regard to the dear Redeemer. Oh, what a sweet word it is, isn't it? How beautiful. Why so? Because it speaks of him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. We have it further in the Romans, don't we? Romans chapter 12, I think it is. In the Romans, that word, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, really, friends, that's sent of God, isn't it? But there is the sending of his servants, but I keep the scripture, except they be sent. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Preaching. Well, it needs the blessed spirit, doesn't it? And we need it preached right into our hearts. Those blessed tidings of God's free grace. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Bring glad tidings of good things. It does seem my mind is led a little to this ordinance of the preaching of the gospel. Do you know, it's to this end that God may be pleased to use his word to the removing of mountains, laying them low in the hearts of poor sinners. It's things that may evidence the sad state of man, and yet it needs the Lord to grant that one upon the mountains are to walk all over them, subdue them, and to cast his shadow over them, to grant his sweet name, the name of Jesus, and to grant that access to God through him. Feet are beautiful upon the mountains. That sweet work of redemption. That real sacred truth that is in Jesus reveals that humble babe, so wonderfully made known for the mountains, and how he was made like unto his brethren. And then there was that enlargement, that blessing of God upon him by the Spirit. What for? For the mountains. For that time when he should preach those tidings, friends, in such a saving way that drew poor sinners unto him. Of course, he was rejected of men. There were a people. Friends, that love the certain sound. But they had the maladies, didn't they? Very often. They've got such troubles, sorrows, sicknesses. The word of God speaks to them, doesn't it? Himself that took our sicknesses. Those that have got things so very great that they have to bow unto. Many afflictions attending the gospel, the hearing of it. But there is a good physician. Skillful and exceeding kind upon the mountain. Friends, he has a cure for his people, for their sin, their guilt and shame, he does indeed. And it's in the cleft of the rock, isn't it? It's knowledge of him. Is that truth as it is in Jesus? So often made known to characters full of trouble and full of need. And the Lord sanctified it. Again and again we read of it. How beautiful. Upon the mountain. Those that said, well, dare we go? And yet need prevailed. Go they had to. Unto the Saviour, the one that they had heard of and knew to be able. It's like that with the Lord's people. The Lord puts in their heart that desire to go and spread their woe at Jesus' feet and plead what he has done. In the Gospel, it speaks of this superlative, this sweet word. How wonderful, how beautiful. Why so? Because it speaks of him in a very sacred way to bring salvation. Speak of it in this way that he comes with those tidings that are sure and certain. I want to look at it experimentally for a moment. Friends, they're glad tidings, aren't they? When the Lord is pleased to come and grant some sweet understanding of the Lord himself upon the mountains. I hope I've known something of it. An impossibility. 13 years of impossibility. Hard things. A man said to me, well, we're very cautious. It's best to cleave unto the truth. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. So I must hasten. He does speak in this sweet way of the blessedness of his coming. So much so that we're reminded of those words and they held him by the feet. Those tokens that it needs the Lord, the Spirit, to grant that sweet truth of the heart to the heart of his people, of those tidings. It's what God can do, isn't it? It's what the Lord is pleased to do. Now, what he's pleased to do, sometimes he reveals. He speaks very often a promise. There's a waiting upon him. There is some sweet intimation with enlargement of heart, that the Lord is surely able to do this thing. Do believest thou that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. And to come, as God may help me in the spirit of the gospel. Has there ever been a time when they were to say, well, it is the Lord. How beautiful upon the mountains. Oh, the Lord to come over the mountains in his way and by his sweet spirit. These mountains are nothing. The Spirit of God are they. Oh, how sweet the truth of it. The Spirit making known the blessed person of the dear Redeemer. That bringeth good tidings. Now I do not see how we can preach from it without speaking of man's captivity. Without speaking of man's sin and guilt. We tried to touch upon it. I don't believe we can speak about it without some knowledge and understanding of the dreadful state of man before his God. And the perceiving of it, friends, the revealing of it. As if you know how it is with pages that may be when it all closed together, there's an unfolding. So it is with God. I never thought you'd have to know that unfolding of the page. I never thought that God would reveal or not reveal as you expected. I never thought the way would be quite so dark and rugged. How rugged is the way? Some poor pilgrim's feet, about their prayers that seem to fall to the ground, about their desires that need to be quickened again. We trusted that it had been He who should have redeemed Israel. So often that we're brought, aren't we, again and again to the mountains that the scriptures speak of, labouring. And struggling indeed upon the mountains. Can't seem to get through nor obtain the blessing. And friends is teaching and it destroy it not. Well, the application is it needs Him to swiftly come. As only God can come. How does He come? Friends, there's one way He blessedly has appointed that He should bring these tidings through the sweet merits of the dear Redeemer. Now, simply, friends, does it come to that? Is it give me Christ, or else I die? Is it this, Lord, give me grace to bow under? Give me that help to be more like clay in thy hand. The mountain is the same, but it's Him, isn't it? As if it's that directing. It's the one that is sweetly set forth in the truth of the gospel for Zion's deliverance from guilt and shame. How they labour. Speaks of that promise of it. And then the beginning of His coming. How good that is in seekers' hearts. Perhaps the day of His spousal. Does it speak of an enlargement? A sweet understanding. You know, living faith in seekers' hearts is a wonderful thing. It returns to God with sweet expectation. Oh, it is that wonderful person of the dear Redeemer. He's made known, sweet in the moments, rich in blessing. Which before the cross I spent. That's where I want to come to it. He that came on the mountains in that consideration must go to those mountains in God's sweet word. Let me direct you to the sermon especially on the mount full of blessing. Well, are there any that know something of the sweet truths in that, in the Beatitudes? He opened His mouth and taught them. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. A blessing for them. Oh, what a sweet word that is. To God, our hearts were more like that. So, poor in spirit, come to the end of all things, yet believing. If so be, that the Lord may come over the mountains, you would count it such a wonderful thing. How beautiful. There'll be some that say, well, I've got that desire to His name, and I do need the Lord to perfect that which concerneth me. I need the Lord to grant me that token. Well, those sweet Beatitudes speak to those on the mountains. All the trials and difficulties. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Does it take up some here this morning? What does it say? Let them depart now, blessed. Where's that blessing? It's in the fount of blessing, isn't it? Jesus' sacred name, full of grace and truth. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Well, that's a sweet blessing, isn't it? Granted Christ's holiness, perhaps in an application of his sweet spirit. So the heart is subdued and yet drawn upwards. Holiness would be a wonderful thing. Poor sinners that feel so defiled. And without it, we shall not see the Lord. It's imputed, isn't it? Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, we speak of wisdom, for they shall be called the children of God. It's not peace at any price, is it? Blessed they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I only touch upon the mountain here. Different sweet truths belonging to the blessing of God. But how we have to go up to the mountain, friends. It speaks a bit like this. We need to be delivered from sin and self, and sweetly granted faith to hasten unto him to hear what he will say. Soon come to a conclusion. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. Not very nice, is it? Pray for them. Shall say all manner of you falsely for my sake. The Lord says, put that on my account. I want to hasten. A sweet blessing to those that seek the Lord and fear his frown. Fear they'll be sent back. Fear they're too small. They haven't got enough faith. Fear that the Lord does mark them down as they justly may do. Tries that little faith, that grain. Well, it's not very easy walking, is it, when faith is tried and tried again and again. Then it's him to come upon the mountains with his sweet blessing. We tried to notice it. In the mounts of temptation, perhaps some are very sorely tossed about. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God shall man live. Have you learned that? Oh, it needs the Lord, doesn't it? A blessing indeed are the feet of him that fell not upon the mountains, but graciously, sweetly said, man shall live by God's grace alone. Now, I want to notice, friends, it was promised that the tempter would return. For he left him for a season. Maybe an encouragement to those that have fresh temptations. Lord, grant the word in the spirit of the gospel. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Then, of course, we must touch upon it ever so briefly. Perhaps, again, oh, that sweet Mount of Calvary. Friends, the guilty might come there, but with heart relenting. Those that are full of sin shall receive of his mercy. How beautiful. And announce at the feet of him that bringeth good tidings of his mercy. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And that's Calvary's peace, isn't it? That rest of God. Oh, to know it, friends, in our hearts. That will put things right. That sweet peace of God, it flows through his precious name and blood. And that righteousness it brings. Oh, but it's in the atonement. Is that the nature of it? The mount of goodness indeed. The apostle loved that mountain. We must leave it, but he seemed to dwell so much. Apostle Paul, those sweet truths. It seemed as if Calvary was so precious to him. He could say how beautiful on the mountains. Feet of him that bringeth good tidings for the preaching of the cross. Here's to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. Sweet word, isn't it? The emphasis is on the salvation. How beautiful upon the mounts at the feet of him and bringeth salvation. We must let's leave a few thoughts. Very lame. Or grant something to spring up. We see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh. It comes from Calvary, doesn't it? Not many mighty. Not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I'll leave a few scattered remarks. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £755, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Timothy Barker will preach on Friday evening. Mr. Robert Field is unable to come as he has a hospital appointment that afternoon, but God willing, he will preach for us next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 615. Sinners called by grace and blessed with a living faith in Christ must not think to be caressed by a world of sin and vice. Satan's agents cannot love the Saviour's choice. Hymn 615.
Lord, we pray for the convoy of thy love and safekeeping. But, O Lord, to grant us help of God throughout this day, and to remember us for good. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.